You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I want us to open our Bibles, guys and gals, if you don't mind, to Ephesians chapter 5 and just spend a few minutes with me today. Let me mention to you, next Sunday we are going to have communion. We're going to be taking that as family units. But something I'm going to do as an altar call today, just give you a heads up. I'm going to ask for husbands and wives to come to the altar. I want you to come together. I'm not sure how it's going to look yet, but I think the wife is going to line up front and the guy's going to be behind her with his hands on her shoulders. I know some of you have got some wives out of pocket, and we got some folk out of pocket today, but still, I want you to come today when we give that altar call for husbands and wives. I believe God's got something for us. Now, here's the other thing. While I'm preaching today, if you're single, you need to receive it. Don't sit here and tune me out and go play, you know, Candy Crush or something while I'm preaching. Just saying, don't be doing something stupid while I'm trying to preach. Thinking maybe that it's not for you. So let me say this. What I'm preaching today and what I'm preaching, Jaquetta, we're praying for you in the name of Jesus. We're just speaking it out right now, but we prayed this morning and we speak over you again for total healing in your body. That from the very top of your head to the bottom of your feet, the anointing of healing virtue would flow. That every cell that is in rebellion against the natural and the supernatural healing process of your body would come in order and in line with the Word of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. But what we're going to be dealing with here on husbands and wives, I think, is going to be something of interest. So if you're a single lady, I want you to listen to what I'm talking about. And if you are a single man, I want you to hear what I'm talking about. I'm going to say something else to you. For those of you all that have been married more than once, don't raise your hand. But if you've been married, I'm going to say 2, 3, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. Some of y'all are going to say that ain't so. People hadn't been like that. Let me help y'all right now. I go 46 years back in the ministry. We'll be 45 years married come May the 30th. And I'm excited about that. Our marriage has not always been fun. Our marriage has been work. And I'm going to say something to you. Love will cost you something. You don't love snowballs, love ices, and love your wife. Those are different loves. But we've put love down into that category that it's easily spit out without easily being understood. And I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not been easy being married. I'm glad I'm married. There has been work in staying married. And I think sometimes we don't understand that. And when people have been married multiple times, I'm going to just help you on this. And I'll just tell you how I am about it. Probably hard-hearted in a sense. I try not to be, but I am anyway. A guy and a gal were looking at getting married, and this guy has been married. We counseled them. I'm thinking, how many times? 5 times. So he had been married 5 times, gone through 5 divorces, getting ready to marry again, and we hadn't even talked about much, just in marital counseling. I'm going to tell you why I'm a lousy marital counselor, because I told him, forget it. I mean, I don't care what you have. Don't do it. And he looked at me like I was nuts, like, I trusted you. You're my pastor. You're supposed to be making this look right. And I just said, dude, have you ever thought that if you're a 5-time loser, it might be your fault? I'm just saying. I mean, if you strike out every time you're at base, it could be you. It's like if someone tells you that you're a donkey, and you just say, no, I'm not. And another person comes and say, you a donkey, and you say, no, I'm not. If a third person comes and tells you a donkey, you might want to go buy a saddle. I'm just saying, you might be in trouble. Talk to me all day long about how God ordained your marriage, how you prayed about it, and how it's all God. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better go back to the figuring place again. And you better be thinking about what costs 5 marriages before you tag somebody. You women are weak if you're going to get somebody 5 times down and you're going to take them without even thinking about that. And out of 5 marriages, that joker better own up to some of the loss. But I'm in that place. What do I do now? Stay married. Look at me. leaving your husband when he's not beating you or threatening you of death? Why did you leave? Tell me again why you left. Well, I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy 2 days ago either, but I didn't leave my wife. There are times my wife's not been happy with me. She didn't leave me. Are you women hearing me right now? You listen, you're in a marriage. You're in a marriage. This is a God contract. Men, listen to me. You don't leave because you're tired or because somebody else treats you better. Make up your mind. Bow up. Get what you got fixed and stay at that house. I'm going to tell you something else. You're not going to get a healing in your house if you're not there. Quit asking me to pray for you when you ain't at the house, because me nor God can help you. Now, if your life is in danger, I get that. I understand that. But just because they don't do what you want them to do, can I tell you who you're hearing? You're hearing social media. You're hearing your family. You're hearing TV. You're hearing the movie. You're hearing the magazines. You're not hearing God. Because he never said that separation makes a heart grow fonder. He says we cleave together. And folk, in hard times, that's when we need to own this thing. Amen? Now look with me in Ephesians. I want to at least get a biblical basis for me. If I'm going to be jumping on you like this, let me have a biblical basis for it. We're going to begin, and we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21. We're going to begin in 5:21. And this verse starts off submitting to one another, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, there are a lot of evangelicals that don't want to start the next chapter, the next paragraph with that last verse. And they're just really proud that it's not there. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are no verse references in this chapter, nor are there paragraphs to the same. What is in that before is in that that is following. As a matter of fact, if you really want to put me down and nail my feet down to make a decision on this verse, I will tell you that in verse 22, the word submit is not even there in the original. Are you not shouting now? See, that's what you've been basing. She got to submit to me, bless God. It's not even in your Bible in that verse in the original. In the original, it was only tagged on out of 21. And the reason most evangelicals don't like 21, because they say it makes a two-headed monster if we got to submit one to another. Look at me, let me tell you something. Do you not think that Jesus submitted when he went to the cross? Do you not think that his submission wasn't only to God, but it was to us? He submitted to take my sin, take my issues. He took what I had to the cross. I don't know if y'all see the same, but he took my stuff. He got in front of me and took my stuff and took it to the cross. I see a level of submission there. Exactly right. Now, that's what makes submission, is you don't have to. And you're going to hit something else in here, and that is the head don't mean the boss. Oh, wear that one home. Well, I'm the head. Well, that don't mean boss. Jesus didn't say I'm the head of the body because I'm your boss. He said I'm the head of the body because I'm your Savior. Oh, well. Because head is connected to body. It's not connected to law. Okay. We'll see how your counseling is now. Wives, submit your... First of all, submitting one to another in the fear of God. And then wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And please understand, submission is there, but it's not submitting. It's submitting as to the Lord. And I think maybe we need to underline that. I think maybe we need to understand how that submission is going to look. It's as to the Lord. Now you got to go to the next verse to find out how that looks. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also the boss. No. He's head of the wife as Christ is head of the church and is the Savior of the body. I want you to underline that, men. I want you to see that. Because if you're a husband and you're not your wife's Savior, you may not be a very good husband. If, oh, come on now. Jesus is the head of the house. He's the head of the, not head of the house, he's head of the body, but he is the savior of the body. We've got this legal aspect, law mentality of bless God, I'm in charge and I'm the boss and I'm the head. Jesus doesn't function like that. He says, I'm the head and it's my privilege to be your savior. My submission to him is because he's my savior, not because he wears a wedding band. Men, I'm going to tell you something. You better find out what Savior means, because that's how you're supposed to love your wife. You're not supposed to love her like your mama loved your daddy, because they were probably jacked up somewhat themselves. A good amen wouldn't hurt us right now. You need to find out how Christ comes into this thing, because he's the one that's in our marriage. And it's about a relationship between he and the church as the same as the bride and the groom, the husband. So it says he's the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as, these words like as to and also and just as are important. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so the wives should be to their own husbands in everything. Now, women, if subjection is bothering you right now, the reason it is because your husband hasn't shown up as savior yet. When you dudes in here begin to act like a savior, do you do for your wife what Christ did for you? You don't have to amen or wave hand, because you may be wrong. Is that how you love her like he loves you? Do you love her like he loves you? Because Ephesians chapter 5 says that when I was an enemy of his, he still loved me. Whenever I was in my sin, he gave his life for me, demonstrated his love for me. I'm just saying right now, am I loving my wife like Christ loved the church? We might need to go to task on that one. We might need to find out if we are saviors of our wife, if we look at ourselves as trying to save them. Well, let's move forward. Husbands, love your wife. Here it is again. Love your wives, not as they say on The View. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And here's another one to underline. Gave himself for her. If I ask your wife right now to make a list of the last thing you gave up for her, I don't know how long her list would be. If I ask your wife to write down for the last 3 months what your husband's given up for you, and you ask her to do that, I'm not sure how long the list would be. Even if you ask her what happened yesterday, was there anything yesterday? Was there a schedule change? Was anything changed? Was I put on his calendar? Was something rearranged for me? And the truth is, guys, I just don't know how long the list would be. But the Bible says he gives himself for her. Now listen, I'm going to say this to you real quick. Just going to say this. Some guys say, I'll die for my wife. I'll take a bullet for her. Look, guys, I've been married 46 years. Anybody can tell that lie. I'm not lying. You don't know me. Oh, I know you. You know ain't nobody going to put a bullet to her head. You know, oh, come on now. You know nobody's going to try to kill her. Nobody's going to put a gun up. Because right now, there are things people have said to your wife you didn't defend on her. They said things that you should have stood up and said something about, but you want her to get up and say, well, baby, go get them. Instead of us, doesn't the Bible tell us that he gave himself for us? Doesn't the Word of God say that there was a substitution at the cross? When does the substitution happen at your house? When does it happen at your house? Don't be telling me what you're going to do for your wife that you know is not going to happen. Baby, I'd die for you. I hear you, but you and I know that 46 years, I've never had to own up to that one. It sounds good, but it doesn't play well. I'm just saying we got an issue here. We men need to understand that if you're going to be the Savior, that's going to cost you something. Savior means there's going to have to be some suffering. Got a young gal right back here in the back row that said something about going someplace hunting or whatever, fishing, I forget what it was. I won't call his name, but Brandon's the one that asked me this. He said something about going fishing or hunting or whatever. I said, yeah, I'll go. When's it going to be? I said, I'll go. How about you? And he said, oh, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He goes, I got to check with Sarah first. I said, what? He said, I'm not like you and your generation. Y'all just tell them what to do. I said, that's not our generation. Let me help you on something, Brandon. I couldn't have really said yes until I asked her anyhow. And it sounds like I'm running the show and I tease from the pulpit, but can I tell you something? I've got to make up my mind also. There are things I've got to suffer. There's some things that I may want to do that's not good, that's on my schedule, on my time, and things I want to do, and her to want something else. There's got to come a day when I will sacrifice. I will give something up for somebody else. And if I'm going to be her savior, I've got to learn to give some stuff up for her. So, gentlemen, let me help you something. Just because you the head don't mean you the boss. You don't wear that title till you become Savior. That's what the Bible says. As he was Savior of the church, that's how I'm supposed to be. Now, Pastor, are you good at all of that? No, I'm not. I've got issues. I've got holes in my garments. Shut up. Watch this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Gave himself for her. That he might sanctify. And we'll deal with this maybe next week with husbands and wives again. But might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. And I just want you to underline that of the word, because the Bible says in Matthew 10, it is going to be by my words I am justified and by my words I am condemned. And your words are eternal. How many of you women ever been talked to rough and you still feel it? How many of you are not raising your hand because your husband would get upset? Or you can raise it next time. Don't worry about it. I don't know, dude. Hey. No, I don't know. Anyway, we'll keep going. If it's, it may be a battery, I don't know what it is. But here's the issue. We need to understand, did I come back on or not? Yeah, okay, cool. All right, that's good, man. I'm good. So here's the deal. It's by the washing of the word. And here's all I'm saying, guys. When we talk ugly, we talk harsh to our wives, and we have the knack for doing that. When we do that, we put something in her that's not going to go away. And you think if you go buy her bracelet, it will go away. I'm just going to help you right now. Words last. They don't just dissipate and go nowhere. It takes an anointing of the Holy Ghost to regovern, to recharge, and to cleanse that up to make it move forward. And it's going to take some better words out of our mouth, boys. And I'm going to say this. We need to be sanctifying. Sanctify doesn't just mean wash her up because she's dirty. It means take her out of the past and put her in my future. In other words, what I move forward for is for her. She has left being normal to become invaluable to me. She's now sanctified. She is precious to me. I lusted her. Now I love her. Desiring a woman sexually is a good thing, but that ain't gonna keep you married. We are inundated by our world, our society, our culture on social media. 81% of divorce lawyers were polled. 60, or out of the 100, 81% responded. 66% of them reported that the divorces they handle were connected to Facebook. If you read my Facebook, I put that thought in there because I figure people are going to read it. We may as well read something about it that's got some truth in it. And here's your truth right now. If you don't think that someone in your past, some old flame, does not want to hear from you, the devil's got another lie for you, because there's always going to be somebody. I'm going to tell you something else. Quit putting your personal stuff on Facebook. How stupid can we be? And some of you try to hide it. You try to hide your argument with your wife or your husband by saying, many times women say, Well, we already know that's your wife. We're not stupid. You women do the same thing. Tell us about how man ought to love a woman. What you're telling us is how your husband ain't loving you. We're not stupid. But I'm going to tell you something. Neither is the devil. He may be disarmed, baby, but he's not stupid. And he's got him a tool right now called Facebook. And I'm not against Facebook. Here's what I'm against. It's when born-again believers put their laundry on Facebook expecting somebody to hug on them and coddle them and help them and encourage them. There's every devil in hell willing to do that. It was God that brought us back together. No, it was lust that brought you back together. You put it out there and it got fulfilled. One of the comments on that post that I made was from an individual that had gone through divorce and put in that comment how that had affected their life and how they wish they could get it back. Can I tell you something? I'm helping you more than you're amening me right now. But if you've got to be on Facebook twice an hour, you're addicted. Preach against cigarettes, that's easier because I don't smoke, I get it. Why don't we preach against something that's really hurting you? I mean, cigarettes kill you. You go to heaven, smell like you've been to hell, but at least, you know, I get that. But the point is, Facebook could get you in your heart. Facebook could get your soul. I'm just saying right now, you need to understand that. And I'll just say this to you. If you've got to be on it twice an hour, people that have done the study say that there's an addiction right there that you can't be off of it that long. I'm going to say this. Some of us need to take a little moratorium. Take a weekend. Take 4 days. Take something. Take some kind of time and just prove you're not stuck to it. Amen. Well, I won't post. I'll just read. I get it right. So can we move forward? That he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands, just like that, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Let me just stop right here and say this. There's no man that's ever beat his woman that loved himself. Yeah, he's stuck on himself. No, he sees himself at the bottom of the barrel. He sees himself as scum. He sees himself as unsalvageable, and therefore hitting you is a benefit for him. If he loves himself, he would respect you. So I'm going to help you right now. If somebody's beating up their wife or you feel like you can slap your wife, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't even see yourself born again. You don't see yourself in the kingdom. You see yourself as an outcast and pretty trashy at that. And moving on, if you don't mind. And it says this, you ought to love them as you love your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it, cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now here comes the mystery. For this reason, man shall leave his mother and father, or father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. I wish you would underline that because it's still a mystery. It's still a mystery. We can't understand all of this marriage stuff. We don't have it all figured out. What we've got to do is find out what the Bible says about it and act that way. Amen, guys? Now, it goes on to say this. It says that it is this great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. If you can sum up the whole verse there, going from 21 to 33, verse 33 sums it up, and that is, I got to love my wife like Christ loves the church, and you've got to respect me. Some of these women are only respecting what they're getting. Amen. Now, before y'all get to nodding too much, ladies, what are you doing to save it? What are you doing to keep it? Omari, good to see you here, man. Just caught you. Sorry to get you so late. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Let me give you a few things here, and then we're going to close and give an altar call. I know we're pushed, but let me just give you this quickly if I can, if you don't mind. Some issues that maybe you need to hold on to. Number one, redemption doesn't always work, although our goal ought to be to redeem our marriage. How many know redemption doesn't always work? Jesus is a redeemer of the world, right? Is all the world going to heaven? No, which means he can't redeem everybody. But it's not up to him to say, I'm only going to redeem 50%. He had to die for everybody. The Bible says he died for all once and for all. So I'm just saying this. I can't look at my marriage and give up on it and say, well, I'm going to quit because it's not getting along and she won't stay at home and whatever. I've got to make up my mind as a husband. I'm going to love my wife like Christ loves the church. Now, she's not acting very good, but neither did I before I understood his love for me. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to say, but Pastor, you're telling me to love her even though she's spending my money, and you want me to love her, and she's staying out late at night. You want me to love her like that? I'm going to tell you right now, that's the same way you did Jesus, and he loved you. I'm just saying. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you something else. If you don't start that, you'll never know if it works or not. And here's another thing. Love is a risk. It's a risk, and some of us are not willing to take a risk. I'm not going to do that till they change. That's your problem right now, and they ain't going to change because you won't take the risk of love, and you need to thank God Jesus did. He looked down and said, I will risk everything for Will. I don't know. He may end up in prison 7 years, but he's willing to risk for him, but he got saved. He was redeemed. He came back to Christ. He's the leader in the church. What would have happened if Jesus said, I'm not going to do it because he looks like a hood? He looks like a thug. I'm going to die for that. Some of y'all need to thank God he died for us because we weren't very salvageable. But ladies, I'm going to tell you something. Men, I'm going to tell you something. You better get this right. Our love and our respect for our spouse is as Christ loves us and respects we respect him that same way. I'm just saying right now, some of us men, you're not going to get the wife to respect you till you start loving her, till you start sacrificing a little bit. Not only will you sacrifice, you're going to find that not only is there sacrifice involved in this, but there's suffering involved. There's going to be suffering involved when you don't get your way. You don't get the money you wanted to spend for something. We don't want to talk about that one, but it's there anyway. Sacrifice is there. Suffering is there. Redemption is going to cost something. Your wife would love to see you with a cross every once in a while instead of a crown all the time. Not that you mope around the house and whine about it, but you're able to sacrifice something and let her have it. Wouldn't that be novel? Paul said it this way, I'm crucified with Christ. Excuse me just a minute. I'm crucified with Christ. I see myself suffering. I'm crucified with him. I'm alive and not dead, but I'm crucified with him. It may hurt because she doesn't respond to you immediately, but that's a part of the suffering you have if you're going to be a savior. How many of you men ever said, I'm going to really change, and boy, you changed for a week and she didn't and you quit? Right? Well, I tried to do good and she wouldn't respond to it. I'm going to say right now, Jesus died for you and you didn't respond for how long? I'm just saying, what does it take for us guys to understand that we got married and made a covenant that is a forever one flesh until death we do part? And I'm going to say this to you. A covenant says you're of one flesh. How many's ever glued plywood together? You can glue it together. How many knows when you tear it apart, what happens? What happens when you pull it apart? If it's glued, it pulls and rips apart, and there's little pieces of it stuck on each side. Can I tell you every time you divorce? Can I tell you every time something that's stuck together that God put together and we decide we can tear it apart, that when we do, there's always a little bit of that stuck to us as we go to the next one? There's a reason why God says you're one flesh. There's a reason why. Because anybody can cancel appointment, but nobody wants to cut off the head. You're one flesh. To get rid of the other one, you got to cut them off. If she's the body and you're the head, I'm just saying, guys, we've made marriage become as trite as Hollywood has made it. I believe this thing is something honorable and it's deeper than we think. Substituting for our wives. I had some axioms. I wrote down a few things. Let me run and see if I can just find a couple thoughts here that I wrote down, and then I will close. Here's your one right here. Here's one. Biblical love is generated by the need of the person being loved, not necessarily the feelings or wishes of the one doing the loving. Let me put it this way. Biblical love is generated by Sue needing to be loved and not by Mike feeling or wishing to do the love for her. In other words, the love generated here is not me wanting to pour on love. It's her need. And if she's got a need, then that's what pulls it out of me. And I think sometimes we misinterpret, but I want you to hear it again. Biblical love is not generated by the need of the person being, biblical love is generated by the person needing love, not necessarily the feeling or wishes of the one doing the loving. In other words, I may not feel like it, but I'm going to because she needs it. How many of you have seen people when they grow old, they just grow cranky with each other? And it's like, where'd the love go? Well, I'm just going to say this to you. I hope that I will always be able to sense the love that she needs. I hope I will, and be able to give that to her on a daily basis. And that's just a thought. Let me give you one. I'm going to close on this one. This will be an easy one for you guys. How many of you guys know what a bundt is? And I'm not talking about something you bake in the oven. Sacrifice bundt. Sacrifice bundt. How many of you men know what a sacrifice bundt is? All right, somebody tell me what a sacrifice, not just a bundt, but a sacrifice bundt. I could hit this ball. Its bases are loaded, or it's someone we got to run on first and second, and we've got them out there, and I could take this ball out, and I'm standing at the plate, and all of a sudden I'm looking down third baseline, right? Don't have a coach over there, so I'm looking down third baseline. When I look down there, he gives me the bunt. Now, wait a minute. I can hit that ball. This is my time to shine. I can put them both in. But I look at him and a coach says bunt. Now it's a sacrifice bunt. Now if you know anything about bunting, guys, it's what you do is when you square around to that plate, that ball comes at you, and when you hit it, you give relief and let it dribble down. You hope down third baseline or toward the pitcher between third, and you're running. It could go down first and be okay with you even there, but you're running. Generally, you're thrown out at first. Sacrifice bunt, you're going to get thrown out at first. You're not going to score. You're out. That was your bat. You got to go back to the dugout with an out. You didn't score. You didn't get any RBIs, nothing. But can I tell you something? You moved them around for the team. Or you put a squeeze on the catcher and a guy came in. I'm telling you, sacrifice is when you're wanting to hit it out and you can't hit it out, but what you got to do for the team is you got to lay that ball down and you're going to get put out knowing you're going to get put out going to first base, but the team is going to be better for it. Can I help you guys on something? You're in a marriage right now, and more likely than not, we need to be laying down a bunt today. It may be something that God is wanting us to do to get our family to move around, but we've been obstinate. We've been hard-headed. I want it my way or the highway kind of thing, or I'm not going to get up. I need my rest. I mean, we got all kinds of excuses, but I'm going to say this to you guys. Maybe we need to lay a bunt down today. Maybe we need to quit telling our wife, you just bow up and do it. Maybe some of us need to bow up. Maybe I need to sacrifice and suffer and substitute. Maybe I need to stand in her place and take whatever was coming instead of saying you got what you deserved. Excuse me, guys. Some of y'all got married and your wife came into the marriage with a debt and you hadn't let her forget it yet. Well, I hate she misspent money, but let me tell you something. You married her. Now substitute. Stand in the gap and say, I'll take it. There's a debt out there. I got it. Come on, you with me. Come on. You got a debt. You came in this thing with a debt. You came in it, but look here, I got it. Don't you worry. Don't let that banker bother you. It's okay. Don't let them bother you. I got it right here. I'll take care of it, right? Yeah, we got something to say about your wife. She came in the store, and she was being awful ugly to that waitress up there. I'm just saying, hey, look, dude, look. You can talk to me about it. You can talk to my wife about it. You can talk to me about it. I'll deal with my wife. I substitute myself for her. It's a debt. I substitute myself for her. You can stay bowed up all you want to, but you'll never have a marriage. You'll never have a relationship. Y'all just be shacked up together in the name of Jesus. Y'all want to stand with me? You can respond in righteousness. That's let the other person know there's something bothers you and you love them, but this bothers you. You can receive a hurt and hide your feelings. That's packing gunpowder in a suitcase and throwing it in the fire. You can reject your spouse when they hurt you. You can take revenge and make them pay. Men, we are so remarkably easy to read because we want the last word and we want to be right. Can I tell you something? Your suffering or sacrifice might be understanding that I don't have to have the last word and I don't have to be right. Because I'm going to look you in the eye and tell you something, boys. You can win a battle and lose a war. You put her down enough because you're right. Pretty soon you won't have anything. Revenge, make them pay. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. Maybe they're being a jerk, and we're going to talk about y'all later, but I'm going to say this. This make them pay thing needs to come off the bartering table. I'm not putting out until he changes. Did I say something y'all didn't understand? Pastor, we got teenagers up in here. They've been knowing this since they were 11 years old. I'm talking to mamas and daddies, act like nobody knows it but you. Or you can choose to redeem your spouse through right responses. Now that's a learning process and it's a curve we're all on. But I'm making up my mind, I'm going to learn the curve. I'm going to be the savior for my wife. We'll celebrate 46 years, but I want the next 46 to know, her to be able to say, he was like my savior. He suffered for me. He substituted for me. He was right there for me. So I'm going to ask an altar call for husbands and wives. If y'all just come and stand at the front. I'd like the wife to stand, the husband stand behind her if you don't mind. Just come make a line across the front, wives in front, ladies and guys, get behind them. Tell you a secret. Well, I'm going to tell you one of the things. Tim and Rita probably have one of the coolest ways to work through a heated argument that I know. And I don't know if they do it all the time or not, but I know it's something that's in their psyche. It's in their DNA. And that is if they're in a heated discussion, intense fellowship, if you're really saved. But they're having their issues. They'll stop. And one asked the other, now give me 10 reasons you married me. Some of y'all don't have but 3 right now. You would be in trouble if you was in an argument. But I'm just saying, maybe you need to find 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 reasons why you married that girl. Ladies, you are responders. You are wired to respond positively to love, to attention, and to caring, aren't you? If he does that, you're all right. You're wired that way. Guys, we need to see what Jesus did and quit trying to argue about she's so sensitive and just figure out how can I help her respond? How can I love her? How can I give myself for. So I want you men to lay your hands on the shoulders of that gal in front of you if you're there as a husband. Now, one last thing, since we're late, I'm going to take us another minute anyway. One last thing I would say to you. You can't do what I'm talking about today making a deal. Marriage isn't deal making. Look at me, guys. We're the worst at that. Guys, y'all looking at me? Boys, we're the worst at making a deal. If you, then I. If you do this, then I'll do that. Am I right or what? If we can have sex, you'll fix me food and let me watch sports. We're going to be happy. If you do, I will. Can I say something? How about not making a deal today? How about you get in your mind, guys, about your wife, that I'm here as her Savior. I'm here as her Savior. Whether she accepts it or not, she may not see this for 6 months, but I'm willing to save. I'm willing to be here to suffer, to sacrifice, and substitute for her. I'm going to give myself to her. I'm going to take the rest of this year and make sure one thing, if she knows anything, that I will be her Savior. I'm not her Jesus, but on this earth, I'm going to stand because He said I love her like He loves the church and saved her. I want to be that way for her without anything in return. Now, boys, I'll tell you a secret. You're going to get returned. But don't quit if you don't see it tomorrow. Don't quit if it doesn't show up for 3 months. Jesus loved you more than that. You're married to that gal. She deserves a Savior on earth. You were put here by God to love her on the earth like He loves her from the cross. That's why you got married.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.